Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed a bunch of big pharma for me to use to help with my blood pressure and diabetes, and those things did absolutely nothing for me. My blood pressure was out of control, my diabetes was out of control. Well, I had to go an alternative route. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products advertised on DIY Health here at EFR. And the results have been very pleasing to me. My blood pressure is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight is down. All in all, I feel really good. Now, this is due to diet and exercise and the use of these products to give my body the nutrients it needs to basically heal itself. I recommend them. If you would like to try these products, please contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's 901-553-6900. Tell him what's going on and he can help you out. Now, this program has to be accompanied by self-control. You can't just pig out all the time. You have to control your diet and get some exercise, which I have done. Thank you for listening, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hiya, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve. This is show number 450. We're going to be in the book of Romans today. Probably going to do chapters 11, 12, and 13. That's what I've got scheduled for today. This is an exciting read with Paul preaching to the people of Rome. The Zerah branch of Judah, that's who the main Romans were. He really was opposed by the seed of the serpent up there. He was persecuted all over and eventually was martyred. In Rome, they pursued him all over and just did all kinds of, well, what they do today. They haven't changed. The seed of the serpent is still with us and still pricks and thorns, thorns in our side, pricks in our eyes, just persecuting away against Christianity, real Christianity. When you tell the truth, they can't stand that. They like the watered-down version in Judeo-Christianity, which they control with the Jewish Jesus and all of that, and the Israel syndrome. They have to support Israel, which is not Israel. They are of the synagogue of Satan. So, let's get started in chapter 11, and it ought to be an exciting read. I really enjoy the book of Romans. Verse 1 of chapter 11. I say then, has Elohim rejected his people? Let it not be, for I also am of Israel, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Paul was a Benjaminite, okay? And you can reference Philippians chapter 3, verse 5 on that. Philippians 3, 5. Verse 2. Elohim has not rejected his people. And for that little section, you can reference Psalms 94, verse 14. That's Psalm 94, verse 14. Elohim has not rejected his people, whom he knew beforehand. Or do you not know what the scripture says of Eliyahu, Elijah, okay, how he pleads with Elohim against Israel, saying, verse 3, Yahweh, they have killed your prophets and overthrown your slaughter places, and I alone am left, and they seek my life. And you can reference 1 Kings, chapter 19, verses 10 and 14 on that. That's 1 Kings 19, chapter 19, verses 10 and 14. Verse 4. But what does the answer of Elohim say to him? I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to Baal. That's 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 18. That's 1 Kings 19, 18. Verse 5. So therefore also at this present time a remnant according to the choice of favor has come to be. Now, Yahweh chooses his people, okay? Verse 6, and if by favor, it is no longer of works. Otherwise, favor is no longer favor. And if it is of works, it is no longer favor. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Verse 7, what then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the chosen did obtain it, and the rest were hardened. All right, stop right here. Yeshua said, no one comes to the Father unless he calls him. It's the same today. Now, I'm preaching to the fence sitters, okay? The people that are firmly in Yahweh's camp, they get spiritual food out of this. And they nod their head, and yeah, they're going along, reading along. But the fence sitters that have not made their decision, there's going to be a certain amount of them that the Father is going to call. And there's going to be a certain amount of them that the Father is not going to call. Yahweh's not going to call everybody. A remnant is a remnant. Okay? It's a small part of the whole. I'm not going to reach all of Israel. I am only going to reach with these words the ones that these words are meant for. And Yahweh will make that decision, not me. Okay? But I need to preach these words. I need to read these. It's necessary because somebody out there, if only one, is going to hear them and make a good decision. And that's the point. We have to occupy until the end, even unto death, and teach and preach and proclaim this good news. So that's what I do here. You know, I'm not looking for a mega church. I'm looking to reach those of Israel that Yahweh wants to call. And how does he reach them? By the word. And who gives out the word? Preachers. And he called me, a sinner, straightened my life up. He has completely turned me around from what I used to be years ago. So, that's my testimony. Well, what's yours, you know? Verse 8, and for verse 8, you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 4, Deuteronomy 29, 4, and Isaiah 29, verse 10. Isaiah 29, verse 10. This is verse 8. As it has been written, Yahweh has given them a spirit of deep sleep, eyes not to see and ears not to hear unto this day. Those are the ones that he's not calling. Verse 9 and 10. You can reference Psalm 69, verses 22 and 23. That's Psalm 69, verses 22 and 23. Verse 9. David also says, let their table become for a snare, and for a trap, and for a stumbling block, and a recompense to them. Verse 10. Let their eyes be darkened, not to see, and bow down their back always. Now he's speaking about people of Israel that are in apostasy, that don't want to hear the word of Yahweh. We have the same people in Israel today, same kind of people. They don't want to hear it. Don't rock the boat. Don't make them uncomfortable. They hate you for it. Look around. You know, they're the ones that are in cooperation, in league with the children of the enemy. What can you say? The children of the enemy cannot do what they're doing without cooperation of some of the people of Israel that are betrayers and hate their own race of people. That's what we've got today. We've got people out there that hate their own people. It says in Scripture that a man's enemy will be of his own house. Well, the house of Israel. What can I say about that? They're here. They do what they do. They're in league. They're in cooperation. They get stuff off of these children of the devil. And they're stuff worshipers. They love their stuff. Well, they're going to suffer the fate of their stuff. It's going to be burned up. Verse 11 of chapter 11. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? Let it not be. But by their fall, deliverance has come to the nations. That's to the nations in dispersion. Deliverance has come to the nations to provoke them to jealousy. And you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. Deuteronomy 32, verse 21. Verse 12. And if their fall is riches for the world, and their failure riches for the nations, how much more their completeness? Verse 13, for I speak to you, the nations, inasmuch as I am an emissary to the nations, I esteem my service. What nations? The nations of the dispersion. Israel in dispersion. Specifically here, people of Rome. Pardon me, I had to cough. The this morning, and I do this usually early in the morning when it's very quiet around here. Verse 14. If somehow I might provoke to jealousy, again Deuteronomy 32:21, those who are of my flesh, and save some of them, he's not going to physically save them. The word is going to save them. Verse 15, for if their casting away is the restoration to favor of the world, what is their acceptance but life from the dead? That's spiritual death. Okay, verse 16. Now if the first fruit is set apart, the lump is also. And if the root is set apart, so are the branches. Verse 17, and if some of the branches were broken off, that's in dispersion, and you, being a wild olive tree, have been grafted in among them and came to share the root and fatness of the olive tree, verse 18, do not boast against the branches. And if you boast, you do not bear the root, but the root bears you. Verse 19, you shall say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Those are the ones that went off into apostasy, and now these nations in dispersion are getting the good news of the Messiah, okay? And they're coming on over as believers, because they're Israel also, even though they're living in foreign lands. Well, the same today. Israel is all over the place. It's not that bandit state over in the Mideast. Israel is a race of people, pure-blooded race of people. Those that have mixed race have killed the spirit. They are no longer of Israel. But that's what the Judeo-Christian churches are teaching, that we should race mix and kill the spirit. They are serving the enemy. Okay. Verse 20, this explains further. Good. By unbelief they were broken off, and you stand by belief. Do not be arrogant, but fear. Verse 21, for if Elohim did not spare the natural branches, he might not spare you either. The natural branches were the people in Judea that were worshiping the Talmud. They had gone over to the enemy. We have a lot of people of Israel today that are racially of Israel that are worshiping the Jewish Jesus and stuff, and worshiping on the wrong day, celebrating pagan holidays. And you tell them this, and they look at you like you got two heads. They don't want to hear that. They're safe in their little cult following that they follow. They've been raised in it, and they don't want to hear the truth. Well, they didn't want to hear the truth back then either. And they persecuted the disciples just as they persecute the true preachers of today. They'll listen to the guy in the black robes up in the pulpit on Sunday that went to the seminary school and was indoctrinated and is preaching this altered gospel. Not preaching the whole gospel. They're promoting homosexuality and race mixing and all the things that go against the Bible. Oh, we're all inclusive. We don't exclude anybody from the church when the Bible says to exclude certain people. You don't even sit down to eat with them. But do they want to do that? No, they do not. They want that collection plate full. That's the whole deal. Verse 22, see then the kindness and sharpness of Elohim on those who fell sharpness, but toward you kindness. if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you also shall be cut off. In other words, you need to stay in the gospel that Yeshua preached. Don't go into these diverse studies and all this nonsense that's floating around out there. The internet has been a great tool, but there is so much deception on the internet, and people are following all these divergent things and are getting off track. And the track is, if you're on the right track, be obedient to the commands of Yahweh in these scriptures. Be strong. Don't go off into these diverse studies and get distracted. Stay in the Word, because if the Word doesn't say it, it's more than likely a deception. That's the thing. Stay in the Word. Because the churches today are not preaching the Word. They have strayed from the Word. Verse 23. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For Elohim is able to graft them in again. Now what does that mean? It means if they repent and get out of the cult following that they're in, same today as it was then, if they come out of that, how many people in Christian identity have come out of these churches? Come out from among them and be ye separate. Well, they're grafted in. They're the ones that Yahweh is calling. Verse 24. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, in other words, the nations in dispersion that had been practicing pagan practices in these pagan lands, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these who are the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? So, in other words, you who have been living in these foreign lands like wild olives, you're still olives. And you're grafted into the original olive tree, and you're going to get the blessings of the root, which is Yeshua, of that olive tree. How much more are those who repent that were originally of the tribe of Yehuda and Benjamin, living in Jerusalem, how much more they're going to come back and come into the good news? Okay, there were those in Jerusalem that were believers, and then there were those that were not. Verse 25. For I do not wish you to be ignorant of the secret, brothers, lest you should be wise in your own estimation, that hardening in part has come over Israel until the completeness of the nations, that's the nations in dispersion, has come in. And you can reference Genesis chapter 48 verse 19. Genesis 48, 19 on that. Verse 26. And so all Israel shall be saved, as it has been written. The deliverer shall come out of Zion, and he shall turn away wickedness from Yaakov. You can reference Isaiah chapter 59, verses 20 and 21. 59, 20, and 21. They will be save those that are truly of Israel, that have come over. And this verse 27 qualifies it. In other words, all Israel will have the opportunity to be saved. Okay. verse 27. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Well, how does he take away their sins? With Yeshua Messiah. So you must believe on Yeshua Messiah and follow his teachings to be part of that covenant. There are rules to a covenant. And again, Isaiah 59, chapter 59, verses 20 and 21, and Isaiah 27, verse 9. Isaiah 27, verse 9. Verse 28, truly, as regards the good news, they are enemies for your sake. But concerning the choice, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. They become enemies through their apostasy. But they're beloved. They will be allowed back in if they get rid of the apostasy. Verse 29. For the gifts and the calling of Elohim are not to be repented of. In other words, you don't fall away from that. Verse 30. For as you also at one time disobeyed Elohim, but now have obtained compassion through their disobedience. They've diversified and gone off on tangents and all that nonsense. So now he couldn't reach converts in Jerusalem. He had to go to the nations in dispersion to bring more Israelites in. Because the gospel of Yeshua Messiah is for all Israel wherever we are dispersed in the world. Verse 31, so also these have not disobeyed that through the compassion shown you, they also might obtain compassion. They see the joining back to Israel of these Israelites and other nations, and they repent of their sins and come back also. Verse 32, for Elohim has shut them all up to disobedience in order to have compassion on all. In other words, he wants them to stop being disobedient and come back. Verse 33. Oh, the depth of riches and wisdom and knowledge of Elohim, how unsearchable his judgments and untraceable his ways. Reference Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, and the wisdom of Solomon chapter 17, verse 1. Isaiah 55, 8, and wisdom 17, 1. Verse 34, for who has known the mind of Yahweh, or who has become his counselor? Reference Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. Isaiah 40. Verse 13, verse 35. Or who first gave to him, and it shall be given back to him? Job chapter 35, verse 7, and chapter 41, verse 11. That's Job 35, 7, and 41, 11. Verse 36. Because of him and through him and to him are all, to whom be esteem forever. Amen. You can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 18, verse 24. 4th Maccabees 18, verse 24, and 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 8, 6. Okay, now we're into chapter 12. Verse 1 of chapter 12. I call upon you, therefore, brothers, he's speaking to Israelites here, in Rome. I call upon you, therefore, brothers, through the compassion of Elohim, to present your bodies a living offering, set apart, well-pleasing to Elohim, your reasonable worship. Verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world or order of arrangement, okay? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you prove what is that good and well-pleasing and perfect desire of Elohim. Verse 3, for I say, through the favor which has been given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly than he should think, but to think soberly, as Elohim has given to each a measure of belief. Now here's verses 4 and 5, and verses 4 and 5 you can reference 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. Verse 5, verse 4, for as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. In other words, everybody's got their gifts and strong points. Verse 5, so we, the many, are one body in Messiah and members each one of one another. In other words, we're all one in Yeshua, and we're all joined together in a congregation of the faithful, which we have. Well, you just saw a bunch of that at Feast of Tabernacles. A bunch of different people from all over the country united in Yeshua. Some were baptized there in obedience to the commands. I mean, it was just wonderful. Everybody doing what they're supposed to do. That's the way the church is supposed to be. Not like these backfighting, backstabbing so-called Christians out there. Verse 6, 7, and 8. Verses 6, 7, and 8, you can reference 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. Verses 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. Verse 6. Now having different gifts, according to the favor which was given to us, let us use them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of belief. Everybody's got their strong points. Like I said, we're all gifted differently so we can function. The hand does not do the job of the foot. You don't walk on your hands, you walk on your feet. But you don't type on a computer or write notes with your feet. You do that with your hands, okay? Everybody, some guys are hands, some guys are feet, some guys are elbows, you know, the different functions for different people, all in one, which makes one complete assembly. Mm-hmm. Verse 7, if serving in the serving, or he who is teaching in the teaching. Some people prepare meals. Okay? Some people are teachers. Some people are healers. Some people are carpenters to help build a building if we need it, or help fix somebody's house. You go over to their house and just help. You don't go over there for wages. You go help because they're your brother and you love them. That's how it's done. Verse 8, or he who encourages in the encouragement, or he who is sharing in sincerity, he who is leading in diligence, he who shows compassion joyously. All these different things that different people do in one assembly to assist one another, those of the believers. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. shrink from what is wicked. Cling to what is good. Verse 10. In brotherly love, tenderly loving one another, in appreciation, giving preference to each other. You take care of your own. Okay, verse 11. Not idle in duty, ardent in spirit, serving the master. You don't shirk your work. You're enthusiastic about it. Verse 12. Rejoicing in the expectancy, enduring under pressure, continuing steadfastly in prayer. In other words, you're joyful expecting the return of the Messiah. You're enduring under the pressure. Well, pressure is the persecution that we're facing today. We have to endure under that and stay in the faith. That's the whole thing. Continuing steadfastly in prayer, it says here. We pray without ceasing. Verse 13, imparting to the needs of the set apart ones, pursuing kindness towards strangers of Israel. Okay? Verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now these are other Israelites that are in error, that are trying to harm the congregation. You have to bless them because they're of Israel and we hope they come over. Okay, reference Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. And Luke chapter 6, verse 28, Matthew 5:44 and Luke 6:28. Verse 15, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Reference the book of Sirach in your Apocrypha, chapter 7, verse 34, Sirach 7:34. Verse 16, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be proud in mind, but go along with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Subdue your ego, in other words. Reference Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. Proverbs 3, 7. Verse 17, repay no one evil for evil. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. In other words, do what's right. Okay, don't be vengeful against other Israelites. Because you can't convert them and get them off that fence into the camp of Yeshua if you're vengeful. If they do something to you, that's an Israel. Now, a non-Israelite? No. This is not talking about non-Israelites. This is talking to Israel of Israel. Verse 18. If possible, okay, there's a qualifier, if possible, on your part be at peace with all men. Verse 19. Beloved, do not revenge yourselves, but give place to the wrath. For it has been written, vengeance is mine, I shall repay, says Yahweh. And that's in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 35. Now that's concerning Israelites and only Israelites, all right? Let's not universalize this. Verse 20. Instead, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. And that's Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22. Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22. Now that's concerning Israel only. Don't universalize this. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Okay, there you go. This is all Israelites dealing with other Israelites. This is not Israelites dealing with non-Israelites. None of this applies to non-Israel. If you get some non-Israelite gonna harm you or your family, it's open season. They're not under this. This is not concerning them. This is Israel only. And that ends chapter 12. Now let's get into chapter 13. It is a short chapter, so we're going to get all three in today. Verse 1 of chapter 13. Let every being be in subjection to the governing authorities. Okay, we have to go along to get along. We're not in rebellion. Yahweh's going to take care of the evil and the evil in government. He's going to deal with all of this. Okay? For there is no authority except from Elohim, and the authorities that exist are appointed by Elohim. Now, this is the elders and higher-ups in Israel, Israelites. He's talking about the governing authorities in Israel. Not the bandit state in the Mideast. And if there's evil in the federal government, you have to oppose it. That's a non-Israel, non-biblical, non-righteous governing body. That's not the authorities within Israel. The authorities, we're talking about the true preachers and elders and the wise ones in Israel. Okay, so we have to keep in mind, in the forefront of our mind, that non-Israel is not being dealt with here. This is Israel to Israel only. Verse 2. So he who opposes the authority withstands the institution of Elohim, and those who withstand shall bring judgment on themselves. Now we're talking about righteous Israel. Now listen to this. We're talking about the religious and righteous leaders of Israel, because they had councils back then, the local congregations, and they would make decisions on what was going on, what was going to go down, and what was right and what was wrong. Okay, the assembly councils. This is what he's speaking of here. He's not speaking of some federal judge. Okay, that's not what he's speaking of. This is Israel and Israel. Because most of your big judges are not of Israel. Verse 3, for those ruling are an object of fear, not to good works, but to evil. Now, wait a minute. Does that sound like the federal government? No. They are of evil. He's talking of the righteous judges of Israel making rulings over Israel. He's not talking about the satanic world order. For those ruling are an object of fear, not to good works, but to evil. Do you wish to be not afraid of the authority? Do the good, and you shall have praise from it. In other words, the righteous rulers of the congregation of Israel would praise you for that. They had their own council. Well, we should have our own councils today. But how many would obey? We've got all these Israelites in rebellion out here. Verse 4. For it is a servant of Elohim to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for it does not bear the sword in vain. For it is a servant of Elohim, a revenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Does that describe our federal government or any of these national governments today? It certainly does not. They support evil. They don't. They're not supporting good and righteousness. And if you teach and preach Yahweh, they're against you. They are of the enemy. We're talking about the council of the assembly that makes rulings over Israel. Israelites ruling on the Torah over Israel. Is that in existence today? Very few. You'll have a council of elders if you have a righteous church, and they'll make decisions. But that's very rare today. We're mostly on our own. The judgment today comes from the scripture right here. Practice this, you won't worry about it. Verse 5. Therefore, it is necessary to be subject not only because of wrath, but also because of the conscience. Verse 6 and 7. Reference Matthew 22, verse 21. Mark 12, verse 17, and Luke 20, verse 25. Matthew 22, 21, Mark 12, 17, and Luke 20, 25, verse 6. For because of this you also pay taxes. For they are servants of Elohim, attending continually to these duties. Verse 7, render therefore to all what is due to them, tax to whom taxes due, toll to whom toll, fear to whom fear, respect to whom respect. Verse 8, owe no one any matter except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the Torah. In other words, fulfilled the Torah. Okay. Verse 9, for this, you shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. That's Exodus 20, verses 13 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, verses 17 through 21. That's Exodus 20. 13 through 17, and Deuteronomy 5, 17 through 21. And if there is any other command, it is summed up in this word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's Leviticus 19, verse 18. Leviticus 19, 18. Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is your racial kinsman, lives close by you. Because he's talking to Israel here. And they had an Israelite government over the people of Israel. They were separate from the others, and they had to pay taxes, in other words, to do things. In other words, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. But you don't violate the scripture for governmental commands. If they give commands that are contrary to what's in the scripture, we are to resist. Verse 10. Let me get a little hit of coffee. Verse 10, love does no evil to a neighbor. That's your racial kinsman. Therefore, love is completion of the Torah. Well, of course it is. Verse 11, and do this, knowing the time, that it is already the hour for us to wake up from sleep. spiritual sleep, okay, and for now our deliverance is nearer than when we did believe. Verse 12, the night is far advanced, the day has come near. Now that's spiritual night, okay, this is he's speaking metaphorically here. The night is far advanced and the day has come near. So let us put off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Enlightenment. Spiritual enlightenment and spiritual darkness. That's what he was dealing with. And he spoke in these flowery ways, and people try to literalize this. You need to read the intent as well. You have to get the context in which he was speaking. You can't literalize this. Verse 13 of chapter 13. Let us walk becomingly as in the day. All right, you walk around during the day and you're doing your business and you're doing being upright and people can see you. Okay, you're visible. Continuing on in verse 13, not in wild parties and drunkenness, not in living together and indecencies, not in fighting and envy. These are things that are occurring at night. Big parties and drunkenness and all of that. Verse 14, but put on the Master Yeshua Messiah and make no provision for the lusts of the flesh. In other words, control your vessel, because something is available to you, booze, drugs, whores, whatever. Don't do it just because it's available. All right, you got an automobile. I'll give you a little metaphor of my own. Got an automobile. It's got a big engine in it. You can take trips in it. You can do the speed limit on the highway. Or you can get drunk and get behind the wheel and go 120, 130 mile an hour and crash into something and kill somebody else and kill yourself. Okay? What are you going to do with the automobile? Common sense would tell you to drive reasonably and be observant, drive sober. And watch out for others, you know, operate that car correctly. But you can take the same car and turn it into a lethal weapon. It's about self-control. And it's about knowing what is right according to the scripture and acting accordingly. Okay? That ends chapter 13. We've got 11, 12, and 13 in today. You can't literalize what Paul is saying here. You have to use common sense and read in context. I know there's a lot of them that want to literalize everything and take it out of context because they use the gospel as a weapon. They try to weaponize for their agenda the gospel. And a lot of them have successfully done that. They have deceived a lot of people of Israel. They've got them believing that Jesus was a Jew and that the Jews are the chosen people, etc., 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 and that We gotta love everybody, and we're gonna have homosexuals, etc., in our congregations, and can't exclude anybody. When the Scripture tells you that there are people you should not fellowship with, you don't deal with people or fellowship with people or have them in your congregation if they're going to serve evil. If they're doing wrong, you need to admonish them, and if they won't quit doing wrong, you are to disassociate with them. You are not to have fellowship with evil doers. This all-inclusiveness and all that nonsense that they are teaching in these Judeo-Christian churches today, everybody's included, we can't keep anybody else, everybody's welcome. If you let a child of hell into your congregation, he's going to corrupt and pervert and destroy that congregation. You must be watchmen on the wall and be vigilant, even over those that you associate with. Now you get these people, I'm a Christian homosexual. What? There is no such thing. If you are a homo, you are not a Christian. This is not just an Old Testament ruling. It says so in the book of Revelations that the Sodomites are going to burn. So it's not Old Testament, it's New Testament as well. It tells you clearly that you are not to have any dealings with these kind of people. You're not to do that. And I had an email wondering whether I was the Pastor Stephen Anderson out in Arizona. I am not. Now, I listened to some of his stuff in his videos, and he rails against the homos. That's his big forte. He's against the homos. But then you look at his congregation, he's got a mixed race congregation. He's got a mixed congregation. They say, oh, he's a preacher of hate because he preaches against the homos. Well, I agree with that part of his message, that the Sodomites are doomed. But I would never preach to a mixed race congregation. I would not associate. I would not go to a congregation like that. I would not be seen in its assembly. And I would not preach to them. I have gone to churches. Once I go and I see a diverse audience, and I walk out. Got to do what you got to do, folks. You either go by the word or you don't. I mean, it's a fine line sometimes, but it's not invisible, okay? The line is not invisible. And you have to choose. I mean, life is a series of choices. Time for me to go. I've run out of time here. Praise Yahweh, and may He bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the Royal. say.